I'm happy to be here this morning. I trust that you have been blessed already in being here. And I hope that as we continue to consider things about truth and about the calling that God has on our lives, that it will be an inspiration to you this morning, that you will be inspired to walk and live more perfectly in God's way, in God's truth. I'd like to read a verse here to begin with. It comes from Philippians 3. Actually, it's two verses. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This morning I'd like to talk about a subject that's heavy on my heart because I feel like in my short lifetime it's something that is disappearing. It's something that as God's people we struggle with and don't do a very good job at living it out. The title of my talk is Commitment, the Way to Begin and Endure. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word commitment. Would you call yourself this morning a committed person? Do you believe that commitment is a relative thing or something that should always be, no matter what the situation is, no matter what people are saying? Story is told of a marathon runner who trained 8 hours a day for a whole year so he could run a marathon. Does that sound like commitment to you? Or the lady who was married to a man who struggled with alcohol. He often didn't have time for his family. Too many times she and her three little children spend the evening alone. She said, I will not leave him. I will stay in this relationship. Does that sound like commitment to you? Or the runner who, after jumping over the first hurdle in the race, fell and while on the ground, felt the pain coursing up her leg because her Achilles tendon in her right leg had torn. But she got up. She kept running to the end of the race. Does that sound like commitment? Or the young couple who joins the church, excited about this new step in their spiritual journey. Within a year, that church is racked with problems. Accusations are flying around. People are getting offended. Some are leaving. But this young couple decides to stay and contribute in whatever way they can to make the situation better, to help bring some kind of resolution. Does that sound like commitment? Or the young man who comes to church on a Sunday morning for 4 Sundays in a row and hears 4 different older men stand up and confess to falling into the sin of impurity via various avenues, social media. After the 4th Sunday, he leaves confused and just a little bit angry. He struggles with the same problems. He is much younger. Is that all that he has to look forward to? That in 15 or 20 years, he'll be standing up in front of church and confessing to failures in these areas that he now, as a young man, is struggling in. Is it worth the struggle? Should he even continue to try? After much anguish, prayer, and struggle, he decides not to give up. He will continue to fight because he believes that it is possible. Does that sound like commitment? Finally, I'm sorry, there's one more before I get to the last one here. Or how about the man who lived in a strange country where he couldn't speak the language very well? He went into the store one day and he bought something at that store. He struggled to communicate, struggled to get his point across, what he wanted, he got home, he pulled the change out of his pocket and discovered that he had been given way too much change for what he had bought. This man had no desire to go back to that store and try to straighten it out because he knew that he could hardly do it. But because he realized that he wanted to be an honest man and he had an honest creed to live by, he had to go back. And so he went back. Does that sound like commitment to you? Or what about the old man of 89 years? He had served God all his life. He has a smile on his face when you see him. When asked about his spiritual life, he says, God has been faithful to me all these years. I will continue to serve him until I die. Does that sound like commitment to you? What is commitment? You may find yourself fitting into any of those situations at some level in some way. Are you a committed person this morning? You say, well, yeah, I am. But the question is, what are you committed to? You committed to having the nicest truck. You committed to having the nicest house. You committed to always getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what your commitment might be, but what are you committed to this morning? Does it really make a difference in your life? We look around us, we see things that create, at least I do, a feeling of despair. There's a lot of single-parent homes around us. There's a lot of children who don't even have a home. There's churches that are struggling with having a clear testimony for the Lord and or struggling to even get along with each other. There's people moving from one church to another with little apparent thought. There's an infatuation with social media without regard to its adverse effects. There's a slipping that turns people more and more like toward the world. There's a laying aside of God's truth for pleasure. There's a younger generation, it seems, that wants to be more and more like the world. There's people giving a verbal assent to being a member of the church, but then going out and living and doing things which clearly go against the accepted practice of that church. And I could go on and on and on with the list. Where is the true and honest, unshakable commitment to God and to His church? Where is it this morning? And I don't point any fingers at any of you. I only want to challenge you to look at your own life and say, what am I committed to? Am I committed to living for God and living for the church? Or am I committed to doing what I want to do and walking like I want to walk and enjoying what I want to enjoy without regard to what anybody else has to say? Where is that clear determination to embrace truth and keep the world and all of its horrible influences out of our lives and the lives of our family? Where is it? I'm telling you this morning, part of the problem, I believe, is because we are not committed. Instead of commitment, we have attitudes of selfishness, individualism. I don't care. It doesn't matter. That's old-fashioned. Separation is not important. Everybody is going to have their fling. One time will not hurt. The world and what it offers really isn't that bad. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I can determine what's right and wrong. I don't need the input of others. And we could go on and on. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at any of you. I struggle with these things myself. Because commitment is a thing that we don't like very well. We don't really care to be committed people. We live in a world that says today, keep all of your options open. Don't settle in for anything. Make sure you can go here or here or here. But that's not what the Bible calls us to. That's not what God calls us to in the Christian life. He doesn't call us to have all of these options on the table. He calls us to be committed and committed to Him and to His truth. Commitment, as I said, is present, but is it the right commitment? It seems like too often that our commitment to God and to the church and to the way of truth is like a coat that we take off and put on whenever we desire. Whenever the situation affords itself, or whenever the situation demands it, we put it on and say, yes, I'm committed. But when we don't like something, we take it off and say, no, I'm not committed to this. I'm going to go somewhere else. No, I'm going to not go somewhere else. I'm going to do something else. Maybe we will go somewhere else too. But we'll just do our own way. And we have it now and we don't have it now. But is that commitment? Is that really reflect the concept of commitment this morning that God wants us to have, God wants us to embrace? We hesitate to commit. We're worried we might offend someone. We're worried we might be wrong. We say, as someone else committed to this particular thing and they abused it. And now I have a reason or an excuse to hold it out here at arm's length rather than to embrace it. And as a result, in many of our communities, both with the young and the old, we have to look way too hard and with a growing sense of desperation to really find men and women, young men and young women who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that makes a difference. We have to look way too hard to find the people that have the Abraham commitment, the Ruth commitment, the Esther commitment, the Jeremiah commitment, the Apostle Paul commitment, and finally the commitment that our Lord Jesus Christ had. And I'll be referring to some of these stories a little later. When we think of those people, we say, yes, they were committed. Abraham was committed. God said, go offer your son, and he did. He was committed. Are we that committed? Am I that committed? And my desire today, again, is to cause you to think. It's to cause you to consider, where is your commitment? To realize it is it's so important. I want to help you want to be committed. Also, I hope we can understand that when we take commitment out of the equation, we have given Satan a destructive foothold in the lives of individuals, in the lives of our dear church. When commitment is gone, he rejoices when he sees all of us saying, well, no, let's not go this way, let's not. And discussion is okay, discussion is profitable, I'm not knocking that. But commitment to actually living by God's truth. That's what I'm calling you to. The kind of truth that says, I won't do this. I won't go here. I won't go there. I will direct my life in this way because I'm committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm committed to the Word of God. When you go back to that verse that I read at the very beginning, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was committed. He said, I'm not going to worry about all these things, but I'm going to press ahead. I'm committed to carrying it out to the very, very end. Nothing, absolutely nothing is going to deter me. Nothing is going to turn me back. And he suffered about everything that could be suffered, it seems like. And he came out in the end and he said, I'm going to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to turn back. My commitment is here. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to be until I die. And I just wonder this morning, we look at the lives of these people and we see commitment. I just wonder this morning what people see in my life. What did people see in your life this morning? Did they see commitment? Oh, you say that's not so important. We just have to have a relationship with God. Indeed, we have to have a relationship with God. But a relationship with God will bring a committed walk. It will not bring a lackadaisical walk, a half-hearted walk, a worldly walk. It will bring a committed walk that lives by the Bible. It will bring a committed walk that lives in harmony with the church that you're a part of. That's what commitment is this morning. I'd like to take some time during my talk, and this is not to hold me up as an example, but I want to refer to some things that happened during our time in Poland. Because this was really where my journey with commitment probably started. It was a difficult thing. It remains a difficult thing for me at times to be committed. I believe that a very big part of commitment is a call. My commitment to Poland started when I felt that call. I don't know how many years ago it was. 20 years ago, let's say. It was about 20. No, it wasn't that long ago. 20, 17 years, whatever. Years ago, to be a part of that work in Poland. What kind of a call do you sense on your life? Well, you say, I sense a call to be a Christian. Well, wonderful. That's very good. That's a powerful call. But as we think, and that's very important, if you're going to be committed to God, you have to have sensed that call. You have to have that call in your life. If you have no call, there is going to be no commitment. You'll be committed to nothing. You know, we are in the process here as a church of starting a new church plant, and you often talk and think probably in terms of us 10 families as being called to go. And that's true. I'm telling you, if we don't, as individuals in our group, sense that call, the commitment to the church plant is going to be very, very weak. But let me tell you something. The rest of you have been called to stay here. And if you don't sense that call, this church is going to wither up and die because you don't have a call to see this church as you don't feel that call. You say, oh, they were called to go here. We were called to go to Poland. Somebody else was called to go to Central America. Wills were called to go to Haiti. And the list could go on. You're called to stay here. Realize that is your call. And then you will be able to be committed. If your calling is not to be, if you don't see your call as calling to be a part of this church, you'll not be committed to this church, this community. It will not happen. Without a sense of call, as I said, there is little or no commitment to the work before you. You will not have the energy or the vision to continue. We felt the call to go to Poland. God led us there. And that call motivated us for 10 years. That call caused us to be committed to that work for 10 years. You say, why aren't you still there? I was so much, and this is not to say anything bad or nasty about this community. There's many times I would love to be there. Coming back was one of the was probably the hardest decision that we ever have made in our lives. Because it went against the call. And when we were wrestling with coming back, it was like we were called to be there. I was going to spend my life in Poland. I was going to die there. God said, no, I have another calling for you. And it took me a long time, I will admit, to catch the vision, to get a vision for that call. To really get a real commitment to that call, to come back. But obviously we did, and here we are. But I'm telling you that if there is no call, if you don't know what your calling is, then you will have little or no commitment to it. You can't be committed to something you don't know anything about. If you're committed to something in your life right now, your job or whatever, you're committed to it because you feel called to it. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you do every day. You know something about it. You're committed to it. I urge you to consider, what do you believe God has called you to? What's God's calling in your life? And please make it more than called to be a Christian. That's important. But make it more than that. The Christian life is more than you just living your Christian life. The Christian life is you being a part of God's body, the church. And you are called to be a part of that church here or wherever you may come from. For you visitors, I have no idea where you're from. But as you think about your situation, see your position, see your place in your community as your call. And when you begin to see it that way, you will be able to commit yourself to that community in ways that you would never really hardly be able to dream of. So realize the fact that with commitment is a calling. I have been called. And what is your response going to be to that? Commitment is marked I have a few things here to mention, some of the marks of commitment. It's marked by attention. I'm just going to read a few passages, and a lot of these are incidents from the Scripture as we observe the lives of people. The first one's in Acts, chapter 8. Just four verses. Commitment is marked by attention. Acts 8, verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." There was a call here. The angel of the Lord came and spoke to Philip. He called Philip and said, "Go out here and find this guy and talk to him." There was some attention to, detail or just plain down attention. When God spoke, Philip heard and he went. Commitment is marked by attention. It's attention to the direction of the Spirit of God. In our lives with Poland, it was our decision to go to Poland. We were asked during that same time to go to another country as missionaries. And we wrestled with that for a long time. What is God's call? But after paying attention to what we felt was the direction of God, we went to Poland. Attention. If you're going to be committed, you have to pay attention. God wants to talk to you. God wants to lead you. He wants to direct you. Pay attention. He has something in mind for you to hear. Young people, listen. Older people, take time. He has something to say to you. And if you're committed to Him, you will listen. And you'll actually hear it. Attention to the direction of the Spirit of God. Attention to the needs around you. Your church, your family, your job, your community. Attention. Commitment is marked by attention. The second thing I have here is the commitment is marked by obedience. Again, let's look at an incident in the Scripture in Genesis chapter 22. To read a few verses here. Let's read the first three verses. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Obedience, commitment is marked by obedience. I've referenced this story already. Abraham, God said, "I want you to take your son and offer him." And we know from what the record is here that Abraham didn't get all the details ahead of time. But we see Abraham was obedient. Why? Because he was committed. He was committed to doing what God told him to do. And I'm wondering sometimes where our commitment is. Where's my commitment? God says clearly this and this and this in circumstances. And I want to, as it were, thumb my nose at that and say, "God, no, you didn't say that. You actually are saying this and this and this." I don't know where that fits into your life. I know it fits into mine. And I just urge you to consider your obedience, your level of obedience to God. We sometimes don't want to obey until we know every detail. We have to know why. My little girl, I say, "Come," and she has a question in her face. It's like, "Dad, why?" It doesn't matter why. You come. And that's the same attitude that God wants from us. It doesn't matter why God says to obey. He wants us to obey. We may never know the reason why until we die. Maybe until we get to heaven and can ask God, "Why?" And I would like to ask God, "Why did you tell us to come back from Poland?" I guess I maybe can understand it a little bit more as time goes on. But it's still sometimes a nagging question. So why we are here and not there? We don't need to know every detail first. Obedience, it's marked by taking one step at a time. It involves trust. It involves dedication. It's commitment. Commitment should resonate from us in such a way that when people look at us, they say, there's a committed man. There's a committed woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not committed to something else. Young people, if people are saying you're committed to sports or you're committed to a nice truck or you're committed to this, ladies, if they're saying you're committed to wanting to be the best seamstress, wanting to always be in style, that's the wrong thing. You're on the wrong track. That's not the kind of commitment God wants us to have. Does it mean we be sloppy? That's not what I'm talking about at all. We don't need to be sloppy and irresponsible and all that. Commitment means serving God and following Him without any hesitation. It means obeying what He says and doing what He wants us to do. And I'm not here to judge you whether you're obeying or not. You have a very active and a very capable mind looking into your own life and saying, I am or I am not. You don't need me or anybody else in the ministry to tell you you are or you are not. So don't go down that road. Get on your knees or take time with your Lord and say, what is it? How am I doing? Where is it in my life that I need to become more committed to you? Now, I don't want to send those of you that are very sensitive down some guilt trip that you might have missed something. God will reveal, God will show you if there's something to be taken care of. He will. He's faithful if you want Him to do that. But be willing to obey. Commitment is marked by determination. I very well remember getting to Poland, living in a motel for the first couple of weeks. I remember leaving that motel. Some of us, I don't remember doing this myself, but I remember others in our group would leave the motel. I remember them coming back all happy because, oh, they found a telephone booth, or, oh, they saw a word that they understood in English, or a lot of things like that. And I'm telling you, when we left, we didn't know where we were going. We had no idea where the hotel was. We had no idea how we were going to get through customs. We had no idea how... We didn't know anybody. I hadn't met anybody in Poland ever. There was one man that was connected to this whole effort, an older fellow. And we were supposed to meet up with him somehow, but I didn't know where he lived. We didn't know any of these details. We had no place to live. That's why we were in a hotel for the first while. But we as a group had determination. Why? Because we were committed to being there. We were committed to making it work out. And it did work out over time. But commitment is marked by determination. Even when things look impossible, God calls us to be committed. Determination, I will do whatever I have to do to make this work. And I remember... And again, this is a difficult thing for me, but I remember so very, very well, I probably told this to my wife and maybe to a few other people, I don't know for sure. But I was 31 years old. I had seen missions. In fact, we went into an area there where a mission had attempted to be started and they couldn't get along with each other and it flew apart and everybody went home except for one family and he wouldn't go home for some reason. He was told he should, but he wouldn't. But I remember thinking to myself, this mission is not going to fall apart. This mission is not going to be successful because we as mission personnel cannot get along. It's not going to happen. I was determined. And I stand here this morning and I have to tell you that that was a large part of why we came back. Because I couldn't get along with the other family that was there. Are we friends? Yes, we're very good friends. But at the root, at the bottom of this whole discussion, there was some disagreements. There were some things we didn't see eye to eye. And if you want to say it like it is, we came back because we couldn't get along with each other. And that just feels like a huge... It feels like I didn't stand true to my call. I know that God called us back here and He called me to be a part of this church and to do what I'm doing. I don't question that. But I'm just telling you that if you have no determination, if your determination is weak, if you're going to be committed, you're going to be determined. You're going to see it through. You're going to stay in it until God leads you elsewhere. Whatever the case might be. Commitment. Confidence is another mark of commitment. Daniel 3. Just read a few verses from Daniel. Daniel 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and of all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Commitment. Isn't that commitment? These men are staring into the open door of a fiery furnace that's going to kill the men who throw them in there, just from throwing them in. And they say, King, it doesn't matter. We serve a God. And that's why I can be committed, is because I serve a God who is able to take care of my problems. He's able to answer all of my questions. He's able to direct us one step at a time. And if you ever struggle with commitment, go back to that reality, just like these three young men did. They said, King, it doesn't matter. Throw us in. It doesn't matter. God is able to deliver us. And if He doesn't, well, it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow anyway. We're committed to serving God. And I just wonder, where are we at? We look at these examples in the Scripture and we know they're there. But then we go out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and our commitment falters because, after all, we're not getting a book written about us. We're not going to end up in the Bible. People aren't going to read about our life down the road, likely. And it'll only be on memory. And as memories go, they get dimmer and they fade. And in the end, people might not even know if I was committed or not. And it doesn't matter, after all, what people say, does it? It's only what God says. Well, I suppose that's true. But to help us understand that commitment is so important, understand that we can be committed because we serve a God who is able to lead. We serve a God who is able to sustain. He's able to provide. We got to Poland. We found out a month or two after we were there, that we could only stay in the country 3 months if we didn't have a job, didn't have a work permit. To get a work permit, we had to come back to the States, get a visa, from the Polish consulate here in the States. And so we did. And we did get jobs. We taught school in the public schools. God provided that. After that, we started a foundation and opened our own English school and taught school there. But God, time after time after time, said, I'll take care of you. And He did. He helped us to find. We were trying to figure out, how do we go to these schools and talk to these people? We couldn't speak Polish very well. And a lot of the people in the schools didn't speak English. Well, God helped us to cross paths with a Polish lady, the wife of the Baptist preacher, and they had arrived in that town just about 1 week before we did. And I don't remember how we met her. But she said, I'll take you. And she took us. One day we went to I don't know how many different schools. And God provided. Commitment. We can have that kind of commitment because we serve a God who is able to solve the impossible. He's able to sustain us. He's able to lead us. You know, our commitment tends to be weak because we find ourselves depending on other things. We depend on our intelligence. Some of us have a quick tongue, so we depend on our quick thinking, our charismatic personality, maybe our family name, maybe our education, maybe some traveling we've done. But where's God? You know what? Commitment, if it's based upon any of those things, is weak and wimpy and worthless. It has to be based on God. We have commitment because of God, not because of who we are. God must be our sustainer. We must literally learn how to cast all of our cares on Him. His hands are extended to you, and in His eyes, I believe, is a welcoming light that invites you to simply give and give and give. Give Him everything you've got. Give Him every problem you have. Give Him every impossibility that stands before you. Be committed. Commitment is marked by that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Commitment is marked by sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice of our personal agendas for the larger vision. I already told you that I expected to live in Poland and to die in Poland. And this became a very real reality when suddenly my vision of living there and serving God there until I was done on earth, that was suddenly being thrown up in the air saying, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Oh yeah, it is. That's what I'm supposed to do. But suddenly God's saying, no, I don't think you are. And for a long time we went back and forth. What is the point here? What are we supposed to do? Where is our commitment supposed to be? Eventually. And I wouldn't call that idea that I was going to live there, I was going to be a lifetime missionary, that was necessarily a personal agenda. Maybe it was more than I thought. I thought it was a good ideal. But maybe there was more personal in that than what I realized. But at any rate, I had to lay that aside and say, God, here's a bigger picture. I don't know what it is, but I'm committed to walking in it with you. And we walked in it together, me, my wife, and our family. But I had to sacrifice. I had to give that up. And it's really, really tough when we think we have it figured out. We think this is what God wants us to do. And suddenly things come in, and it's like, well, but God, this is what you told me to do. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And it keeps pounding away at us. And after a while, we want to throw our hands in the air and say, well, God, I don't know what you want. You know, that's kind of where He wants us to get. God, I don't know what you want. Show me what you have for me. And we lay this off to the side, too, so that He can actually help us see what the bigger vision is. Sacrifice is part of commitment. Sacrifice of time, wherever it is needed. I so well remember getting that first work visa in that public school. And those dear people from the public school, they were not Christian people at all. Very, very ungodly people. But they wanted us to teach there. I remember one old lady, she was a single lady, very hard to get along with, very rough. And you didn't want to go into her office and talk to her by herself. But she took us under her wing. And she even went to the immigration office with us. That was unheard of. After all, we were Americans and we should be able to take care of ourselves. And they never did that. She went there. Her and the other assistant administrator of the school. He could speak English. She could not. But she went to bat for us and she helped us to get it. They sacrificed their time. Why? Because they were committed. Those two people said, Laverne and John are going to teach in this school, and we will do whatever it takes to make it happen. And they did. They were not dishonest. They didn't do anything out of the legal law. But they said, we'll go there. We'll sit there in that office with them. We'll go in and help them to make this work. Sacrifice. It's a mark of commitment. Faith. Let's go back to Genesis. Faith is also a mark of commitment. Go back to Genesis where I was reading about Abraham. Genesis 22. I'd like to read a few more verses there. Let's read starting at verse 4. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went. And they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb with the burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. I read this story often and I just cannot fathom what's going through Abraham's mind as he has this conversation with his boy, and he says, don't worry, Isaac. God's going to give us the sacrifice. Commitment. He had faith in his God. And I don't know if he believed there was going to be a ram in the thicket. I don't really know. That's beside the point, I guess. But he had the faith that anchored his commitment. His commitment was, I'll be obedient, I'll do what God says, I'll follow God. And even when I'm looking at this humanly absurd thing, I'll do it anyway. He would not be deterred. He would not be distracted. And I just venture to guess that most of us are not that committed. I don't think I am. I think I would be distracted way too easily. I would reason with God. I would reason with the church. I would reason with my peers and say, look, it isn't that way. No, 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 no. We're not supposed to murder. We're not supposed to kill. Or whatever the case might be, I would come up with some kind of a good reason to say, no, that's not what God meant. But God is not obligated, do we understand what He means. He's not obligated to make it clear. We are obligated to believe in Him as Abraham did and to obey Him as Abraham did. That is commitment. And there are probably other marks of commitment as well. Those were the ones that came to my mind. Commitment. Commitment is, there's preparation that is involved in commitment. There's the practical side of things. So what needs to be done, and we stand up and we do it. We do it to the best of our ability. If we're committed, we will do that. If we're not committed, we will sit back and say, well, I'll just wait for the opportunity to come into my lap. And it will never come. Commitment means stepping out and doing the things to make the goal, the vision, happen. That's commitment. Learning to know others in the group. We as a group spent time at Faith Builders for about a year before we left. Very important time. Learned to know that I'd never met Laverne and Lolita before we went to Poland. I met them once. He taught school there in Stuart-Straft, and there was a school meeting there, and I taught school in South Boston. I went up there for that meeting, and I met him there. That was the first time and the only time that I saw him before we lived in next-door apartments there at that school. But you learn to know each other. You develop tools to share. There's the spiritual side of things that you need to take care of in commitment. And we as a mission group chose a mission verse in Acts 26:18. I won't take time to read that. But it was a verse that we held up as part of our vision, part of our goal. And it helped to keep us committed because it was in front of us all of the time that this is what we're going to Poland for. This is what we want to achieve. We had a mission verse. We had a mission song. And we sang that song numerous times. Be Thou My Vision was the title of that song. It's not in our hymn books or we would sing it, but it's a song that speaks of holding that vision of the Lord, vision of God, vision of truth in front of us, keeping it there so that our commitment remains strong. It doesn't drop off. And I just urge you this morning to have in your life a vision. Will it always be attained? Will you always reach the end? Maybe not, but if you don't have that vision, your commitment will be weak. Your commitment will be very difficult even sometimes to see if there's no vision to help keep it strong. And that was why we did what we did. Not because there's special credit or special effects that come from having a mission verse and a mission song. It was for us as a group to maintain our commitment. Because we knew that down the road when we're sitting there in Poland trying to figure out what to buy and how to buy it and where to go to find this and what to do with this problem. And when you're sitting in the hallway and you hear people talking in Polish in another room and they're making fun of you because, and you know they are because you can understand what they're saying. They don't know you're in the hallway. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to deal with that problem? What's that going to do to your commitment? It was a little shaky for me. I didn't really like what I was hearing. But it did happen. Commitment. Commitment is marked by other people. I believe this morning that a group greatly enhances the power and the potential of personal commitment. You can be a person, an individual that has the best and the most powerful personal commitment to walk with God, but if you throw that away, I mean, if you say, I'm not going to worry about my commitment to the group, commitment to God's people, commitment to the church, you have shot yourself in the foot in more ways than you can ever imagine. You will not do well individually as a person who follows God. You will not do well. That's not the way we're made. That's not the picture the Bible gives us. He gives us the picture of being a part of a church, being a part of a group where there's accountability, being a part of a group where other people speak into you, and you need to be that. I need to be that. And we need to do well at making that happen. There's the need. Commitment needs to have personal development. That daily fuel, that daily pit stop that we take, as it were, to feed the flame in our own lives. Because it is the small flame in each of our lives that lights the bigger flame of the church that you are a part of. If there's no small flame there, the larger flame will not be. It's that small flame that lights the larger flame of the vision that you are pursuing. You need that in your own life. There are a number of things that I could go over here that destroy commitment, and I have 1 minute left, and I can't go over them all. But one thing I will mention, because I think it's probably one of the biggest ones. Commitment is destroyed this morning by fear. And if I had time, I would read to you the story of Esther. That's a story where fear did not allow her commitment to be destroyed. But she struggled with it. She says, what if I go in there and that king doesn't hold that scepter out? He's going to kill me. All of you ladies, what would you have done? Faced with that real, true possibility that your husband, even though that's not the way we look at our families today, but it was her husband. If you go in to him and he didn't ask you to come in, he would kill you if he didn't want you in there. Would you go in? She did for her people. But I think she was afraid. I think she wrestled with it. She said, you need to fast and you need to pray. Mordecai said, if you don't take care of it for us, God will save us in another way. And she went in. Fear. Fear will kill our commitment. Fear of the unknown. You know, we didn't know where we were going to live there in Poland. We didn't know what was going to happen. There were lots of unknowns. Fear of potential conflict. You know, I didn't know if I could get along with those people or not. And we did for a long time and still get along okay, in spite of our differences and opinions about different things. But still, we worked very closely together and we were afraid. That fear tried to get in on our commitment. Fear of the lack of knowledge. I hated being stopped by policemen in Poland. I hated it. It happened more than once. And I wasn't very nice when I would get stopped. They would come up to me and say something in Polish and I would answer them in English. And they would say something in Polish and I would answer them in English. I didn't know if I was answering what they wanted to be answered because I couldn't understand what they were saying some of the time. That worked pretty well until we were there 6 or 7 years and I could begin to understand their question. Then I had to answer. Then I had to answer in Polish because I just couldn't. My conscience wouldn't allow me to act so ignorant anymore. But it was a fearful thing. I didn't want to deal with those men. Fear, the inability to connect. Would the Polish people accept us? For years they did not. For years they held us at arm's length. But that changed over time. Fear of the validity of the call. Was it a wild venture? And I could tell you story after story of how it did seem like a wild venture. But God was faithful. As I mentioned before, the commitment is marked by a faith in God. He just proved himself over and over and over again. The commitment that we had in that call, the commitment we had to him was worth it. It was the right thing to have. We fear commitment because of what it will cost us, what we will lose. We will lose more than we will gain, we are afraid. Fear. One of those things that destroys commitment in so many ways. Be like Esther. Don't let it happen. Don't let fear distract you from your commitment to the Lord, your commitment to your church, your commitment to whatever, your family. Other things that destroy commitment are problems, just ordinary problems in life. Arrogance in relationships, misunderstandings in relationships, and the list could go on. I didn't really come up with too many verses this morning that actually tell you to be a committed person. I don't know if there are any in the Scripture that actually say that. But there are a few that give us the insinuation that commitment is necessary. Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14 say, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." In other words, stand up and be committed. If you're not a committed person, you're not going to stand. If you're not a committed person, you're going to read that verse and say, "That's nice, but that's not for me." Paul says, stand. Be committed. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That sounds like commitment to me. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, my beloved church, be ye steadfast." Everyone, not just some, but everyone. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." That's commitment. And that's my call, that's my plea with each of you, that you will be a committed person to what is to God and to His Word and to His church. You will not find yourself somewhere else. And if you are, then allow God to move you to where you need to be. The need for commitment in our world is huge today. Everywhere you look, people are looking for an escape in relationships in life, in responsibilities of marriage in the home, in the ongoing work of the church, in society in general. Commitment. I find myself looking desperately for it and coming away with a sinking feeling of dread and despair. Instead of commitment, as I already alluded to, a person sees selfishness, individualism, arrogance, and independence all around. So what can we do? Is there any way to stem this tide? Any way to call God's people back to a lifestyle that is clearly dominated, influenced by the reality of commitment to Him, to His Word, and to His truth? In closing, I'd like to read just a few verses, if I could, because it's what was in the note that we need to close on. From Matthew 26. Sorry, I'm going over time. I'm just about done. Matthew 26. Here is a picture of commitment like nothing we have ever seen. "Then cometh Jesus," starting in verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." You know, as I was reading that, I realized that we have commitment on one side and the lack of commitment on the other. And I don't want to be too hard on the disciples. They were probably tired and stressed and all of that. But they weren't committed enough to stay up with Jesus. They slept. But what I want to key in on is Jesus and His commitment. And that sums up that's the kind of commitment we need to have. Jesus is facing death. He's facing torture and torment and pain and all of that. But He says, God, if it's what you want me to do, I'll do it. You know, I'll do your will and not mine. And that must mark our commitment. We are willing to say, God, I'll do your will and not mine. May God bless you as you learn to be a committed people and live in that way. Let's have a closing song.